Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you that you are our God, that you are our healer. That, Lord, this reality of being healed, Father, is a continuity that you mean to manifest in us in a growing tree of life, Father. That the root of this tree of life, O God, is the root of David. And as we are healed and brought forth in a growing Passover, Lord, we are manifested as children of David, O God, offspring of David, Father. Each one of us designed, O God, to unveil the key of David that will enable us to function in your name, Father. Function in realities you mean to peculiarly manifest in us as we rise to the reality of being tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God under the shadow of the Almighty. You have given us awesome position, Father. And your salvation is meant to unveil that position to our lives so that we may become the unique vessels you have chosen each one of us to become, Father. And all this, Lord, you are manifesting to us by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And we begin to understand, Lord, that healing is a realization of the truth, Father. Healing is a realization, O God, of the strength of the Lord our God. That healing includes deliverance. That as you release your word in us, Father, your word is meant to fundamentally bring healing into us, Father. We all need healing, Father, so that we can live, Father, because healing is necessary in order that life will be made manifest. So, Father, we thank you that as you bring healing into us, we are brought into a higher and higher reality of who you are and all that you are. As we leave the murky waters, O God, of this world, Father, we are brought into the clear waters, O God, of the voice of your word, the clear waters of your witness and your testimony, the clear waters that purify, the clear waters that sanctify, the clear waters that heal, Father. We thank you that the reality of these clear waters are brought to us through the root of David, Father, an expression, O God, of the love of Jesus for each one of us, Father, a realization of his love that manifests in a growing root, Father, a realization, O God, that comes out of his sacrifice on the cross. And so it is no surprise that your word declares that by his stripes and by his wounds we were healed, Father. And what has been released to us on the cross, we pray, will be manifested to us in a growing lifestyle, so that we will unveil as sons of the living God, so that we will unveil as a royal priesthood, Father, so that we will unveil, O God, as a prophetic people, Father, so that we will unveil, O God, as kings you have chosen, O God, to reign over situations and circumstances, to reign, O God, in the triumph of the Lamb, to reign, O God, in the strength and courage of the Lamb, O God, to reign, O God, in the strength and courage of the Lion, Father, to reign and to express, O God, the abundance, O God, that you mean to manifest through each one of our lives, as our hearts open as rivers of living water, Father. And truly, Lord, as your word declares, the earth will be covered with the glory of the living God. The earth will be covered in the realities of your word, even as the waters cover the sea. And Lord, we will be the people through whom these wellsprings of life will manifest as rivers of living water. And wherever this river flows, there will be life, Lord. Wherever this river flows, O God, there will be a newness, O God. There will be an abundance. So raise the church, Father, that we will understand, Lord, that we are vessels, peculiar vessels that you have chosen to be a blessing. Peculiar vessels you mean to demonstrate, O God, the glory of your grace in, Father. So lead us and direct our pathways. Continue to nourish us, O God, in the witness within us. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yahweh Rophe, the Lord God who is our healer, or Yahweh Rapha, the Lord God who is our healer. And so we brought out the subject of God our healer by looking at Exodus chapter 15, of how the people were brought to Marah, and they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Exodus chapter 15, verse 24. Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. There he made for them a statute and regulation, and there he tested them. And he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your healer. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the waters. All right. So we see here that this healing comes out of a tree, right? And that tree represents the tree of life. And that tree of life is the I Am of God that is made alive to us in Christ Jesus. Jesus declares, I am the life. And that reality of I Am, which is the manifestation of the name of God as life, is the basis of healing. And so we know that we have a witness. And that witness is designed to receive and realize the voice of the Lord. And that witness is meant to be defined in the witness and testimony of Jesus. It is called the true and faithful witness. It is defined in blood, water, and spirit. It is a witness that comes to us out of the cross. The root of that witness, as we described the last time, is called the root of David. And that root of David is an expression of the love of God that we have come to receive and realize, such that David means the well-beloved, and Jesus becomes to us the well-beloved. And that root represents the fulfillment of the law. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So this witness is rooted in the fulfillment of the law. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So that is the root of that witness. And it unveils us as the offspring of David. And that's what we did last week. Today I want to talk about this reality of this witness being a tree of life. So let's turn to the book of Proverbs. And let's look at a few verses that allude to this, right? You will find that the Old Testament alludes prophetically to a lot of things that comes to clarity in Christ Jesus in the New Testament. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Now we know from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14 and 15, that the word of God is in our mouths and in our hearts. Right? So he says here, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Okay? So you know that the witness stands between your tongue and your heart. And so this witness is the tree of life, right? It is manifested through the cross of Jesus Christ. It is a witness that comes out of the cross of Jesus Christ. And he says a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, right? It gives expression to the fact that this tree of life has been developed within you, right? Let's look at verse 30 of chapter 14, Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. A sound heart is life to the body. Right? So where does the word of God rise from? It rises from your heart, but it is released through your mouth. So the wholesomeness of God's word, right? The wholesomeness of God's word manifests from between our tongue and our heart. And we find that what is manifested between is called a tree of life. And that's what we are trying to describe, a tree of life. And this is the heart of healing, all right? This is the heart of understanding how healing manifests in our being, right? Because we all need healing. We need healing in our character. We need healing in our nature. We need healing in our thoughts. We need healing in our minds. We need healing in our bodies. We need healing. So there has to be a flow of the word of life in us, so that we will live. If you are healed, you will live. Right? That's the whole purpose of salvation. Salvation is founded on the premise of you and me being healed. If we are not healed, there is no possibility of us being saved. All right, so you will find that the moment you were born again, God brought into you new realities. And suddenly you came alive to God. Something new opened into your spirit, your soul, even your body. Something was dynamically different. So in the book of Proverbs, you find that there is plenty to tell you about this reality, right, of being healed. All right, this of being healed. Let's look at verse 27 of chapter 14. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, right? The fear of the Lord is part of the anointing that we have in Christ Jesus. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2 and 3, you will find that it says that the spirit of the Lord will come upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And that spirit will be expressed in wisdom, in knowledge, in understanding, in strength. It will also manifest in the fear of the Lord. And in Isaiah chapter 11 verse 3, the first part, it says that he will take delight in the fear of the Lord. Right? He will take delight in the fear of the Lord. Right? So, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. How? Because of this word called delight. Let's turn to another verse. Chapter 17 of Proverbs, verse 22. A merry heart does good like medicine. Right? A merry heart. In the New King James, in the New American Standard, it says, a joyful heart is good medicine. Right? Where does the joyful heart come from? It comes from us learning how to take delight in the fear of the Lord. How do we take delight in the fear of the Lord? By receiving of the spirit of the fear of the Lord that was perfected in the spirit of Christ. Now everything that is the Rhema word manifests to us in the spirit and life of Christ Jesus. Right? It is of His spirit and of His life. And one of the elements of the Spirit of God, of the Spirit of Christ, is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And Jesus perfected that spirit in His being as a delight in the fear of the Lord. We found that in Isaiah chapter 11 verse 3. And so you find that a joyful heart, right? A joyful heart or a joyful spirit, right? A merry heart does good like medicine, right? It brings healing into your body. Can you understand that? Right? So a God-fearing person, right, will draw healing into his body, right? And this healing will manifest itself not just in the healing of sickness and diseases, but in the healing of the sicknesses and diseases of our soul, the transformation of our character. And it's a tree of life, right? The fear of the Lord is a tree of life. It grows inside of you. How does it grow inside of you? It grows out of the seed of Christ. When you were born again, the seed of Christ was planted inside of you. As that seed grows, it manifests a root, and that root is called the root of David. As that seed grows, as Christ is formed in you, you become the offspring of David. As the reality of Christ being formed in you is manifested, as you come to love Him as your Lord and your beloved, you will find there's something called the key of David that begins to unveil in your heart, that opens to you the realities in which God wants to bless you. Right? The key of David, I am the door. And you can go in and out of this door and find pasture. You find that in John chapter 10 verse 9, I think. Alright, so you find that the scripture gives to us an awesome picture of the reality of us being healed. So we need to be healed. We must be healed. Right? And it's very important for us to understand that at the heart of the reality of being healed is this realization of a joy. A joy in the fear of the Lord. It has to be manifested in us, okay? Look at verse 22 again. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Which is why Satan always tries to break your spirit. Right? Because he can kill you. Look at chapter 18 of Proverbs, verse 14. The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? Who can bear a broken spirit? So when you get depressed, right? When you get depressed, when you feel defeated, when you feel that you've come at the end of the road, you realize that you are allowing something to manifest in your life, right? That is going to destroy you. So you need to have the spirit of that is focused on Christ Jesus, right? Your spirit must be alive to what God has given you in Christ Jesus. Verse 21 of chapter 18. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. Which is the same thing as what Moses was told in Deuteronomy chapter 30, right? The word of God is in your mouth and in your heart. And God says, see, I have set before you life and prosperity, death and adversity. Words to that effect, right? So how we choose to manifest the word of God is a matter of life and death. Right? But you realize that it has to be spoken, it has to be articulated. It has to be articulated through the way in which you live, how you speak about people, how you speak to others. It has to be an expression of the word of God that is in your mouth, that is in your heart rather. Right? It has got to articulate the word of God, because in the word of God, in the spirit and life of Christ Jesus, is this reality of healing, is this reality of transformation and change. Are you with me? Okay? Chapter 18, verse 4. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. So what did Jesus say? That out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Right? Rivers of living water. Amen? So, the word of God manifested in us opens as a well of living water, springing up to eternal life. That's what Jesus told the Samaritan woman. The words that I give you, the water that I give you, right? Right? The rhema that I speak to you, that's what water represents. It will become inside of you a well of living water, springing up to eternal life. And then in John chapter 7, right? He then declares that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. For these words to flow, for these waters to flow, you have to speak the right words. You have to learn how to bridle your tongue. Right? Because what God wants to bring forth from within you are the waters of life. The waters of life. Okay, let's look at how we can function in releasing this wellspring of life that God has given us. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 22. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it. So it is very important for you to understand where we started off. When we said how God will teach us, we said that one of the things that God does with his word is that you have to hear his word and you have to understand it and you have to accept it. Correct? You remember that? So understanding is the means by which this flow of water comes inside of you. Right? It is not just a question of belief. Belief must manifest in understanding. Right? What is at the root of this word understanding? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3. And Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 tells us, by faith we understand. Right? By faith we understand. Right? What does faith represent? The substance of hope. Right? And that hope must be fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the substance will be of him. Are you with me? It's very important for us to understand this. Right? Because these wellspring of water, right, depends on your understanding. But it must be an understanding, right? But it must be an understanding that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It has been understanding that has to be defined in him. Let's look at another verse. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Right? The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So you see, it is tied to Jesus Christ. Understanding is not just tied to faith. It is faith focused on Jesus Christ. It is faith that declares that Jesus Christ is Lord. It is faith that declares that Jesus Christ is life. It is faith that declares that He is the way. It is faith that declares that He is the bread of life. It's very important to understand that, right? It's very important to understand that there is something that stands behind the principle. There is something that makes the principle work. So when you read the verse on the surface, it says that understanding is a wellspring of life, right? I'm reading again from Proverbs 16 verse 22. But you must understand that that is tied to the person of Jesus Christ, because He is the life. So you need to understand this, okay? Let me show you another verse that opens this to you as well. It is found in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Tells you something here, that desire is the activator of hope. If you desire the things of the Lord, you will set your hope on the Lord, and out of that hope will come out a tree of life. And that tree of life is developed with an understanding. We're talking here about your witness, guys. So it's very important for you to understand the Word of God and to see that Word of God being performed in your life by setting your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it develops into a tree of life. Very powerful, isn't it? That's why Jesus said that the seed is planted and it grows up into a tree, and the tree and the birds of the air can come and take refuge in it. It is about how God is going to grow you as a person so that you become a blessing, even as to bless nations. It's very important for you to understand. It is all tied to what happens inside of you, right? It is all tied to you realizing healing. See, healing is tied to growth. If you're not prepared to get healed and get out of the flaws of your character, out of the weaknesses of your flesh, right? Then you cannot move into the deeper things of God. You cannot be the vessel God wants you to be. Now, this is not done by the law, it is done by grace. Of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. That realization is tied to your witness. That realization is a realization of understanding. That realization takes place as you set your hope on the Lord. And the moment you set your hope on the Lord and you walk into this realization with understanding, step by step, a little bit here, a little bit there, line upon line, precept upon precept, as you energize that reality, as you pray in tongues, you will begin to see that God will begin to energize that tree of life inside of you. That the power of the cross is released into you. And that resurrection power unveils you as a new creation. Right? So you're transformed from day to day, glory to glory, right? As you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the King of glory. There is no meaning to glory without the King. If the King does not become your beloved, right? Then nothing can move in your life, because He is the King of glory, right? It is very important for us to understand that there is no meaning to words like glory, right? Truth, right? Wisdom, knowledge, understanding without Jesus Christ. There's no meaning to the word love without Jesus Christ, because that word love is demonstrated to us from the heart of God through the life of Jesus, through the testimony of Jesus. It is manifested in us in a witness of blood, water, and spirit. Are you with me? Right? And in the dimension of spirit, there is wisdom, there is knowledge, there is understanding. There is the fear of the Lord, there is strength. Right? There is counsel and so many other things, right? And we need to understand that God equips us in the Spirit of Christ so that we will do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so you see, being healed enables you to function through Christ. That's the result. Christ is formed in you, right? Galatians 4:19. Paul says, I labor with you until Christ is formed in you. So you need to understand, Christ means Messiah. Messiah is a person. It is not merely an anointing, right? So that witness that God has opened to us is in the person of Christ Jesus. It is in His testimony that is made manifest in us. So this witness that we are talking about, this tree of life, is the testimony of Jesus. This tree of life is the witness of Jesus. Are you with me? Okay. You catch that nicely, right? Okay, let's carry on. Right. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Let's read from verse 1, and we're going to stop at verse 8. My son, do not forget my teaching, and let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. You realize that all these things that is being written here, God will do in us. He says here, write them on the tablet of your heart. You realize, of course, that in the fulfillment of the law, God is writing the word into your heart. Are you with me? So, you know, it says here, let your heart keep my commandments. But you realize that in the new covenant, God is enabling you to keep his commandments by bringing his commandments into you through the fulfillment of the law, through the nature and character of Jesus. And because of the nature and character of Jesus being worked into you, the law can be observed, right? In its fulfilled sense. You will have no desire to steal. That comes out of the nature and character of Jesus. You will have no desire to commit adultery, because that comes out of the nature and character of Jesus. Right? It is not just observing a principle. You understand what I'm saying? Right, okay. So do not let, verse 3, do not let kindness and truth leave you. But you realize in the New Testament that kindness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Right? And what is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? It is the nature of Jesus Christ worked into you by the Holy Spirit. Truth leave you. Who is the truth? Jesus is the truth. Right? So the Old Testament speaks in shadow form. And when you read the Old Testament, you must bring the Old Testament into the reality of the witness and testimony of Jesus. And you will begin to understand the whole picture. Right? So he says them, bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Verse 4, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Right? Now we know in the New Testament that we find favor in the sight of God in the witness of Jesus alive in us. All right. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. And do you realize that all this is happening through the witness? If you live through the witness, you are always living in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, because the witness brings into you a new understanding based on who the Lord Jesus Christ is, what he has done for you. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. He is the way. Do not be wise in your own ways. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Right? It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. So this whole witness is tied to healing to your body, healing to your soul. Right? Healing to your bones. Are you with me? So this witness is a witness of life. The life that is described through the testimony of Jesus. Or rather, the testimony of Jesus describes this life that God wants to develop in each one of us. And he wants to develop it through a witness. Can you see that? This is very important, guys, because we are told in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Let's turn to that. Romans chapter 8. Verse 11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who indwells you. Right? The Holy Spirit indwells you, and the Holy Spirit works in you through the witness of blood, water, and spirit. Right? And it says that he can manifest life even unto your mortal flesh. So you can experience this As you choose to energize by the Spirit in Christ Jesus, the life of Jesus, the character of Jesus, and you can feel its effects come into your being, in your spirit, your soul, your body, in your heart, in your mind, in your thoughts, your words, your deeds, in your intents, your attitudes, your desires, your imaginations, in your objects, your purposes, in your will, your emotions, in your character, your nature, your personality, in your conscious, your subconscious, your unconscious, in your spirit, your soul, your body, in your heart, in your mind. Right? Every facet of your being can be open to this witness. For the witness of the flesh, your fallen flesh, brings decay and death. But the witness that God is building inside you and me brings healing in renewal and regeneration. Right? You remember that? You remember Titus 3:5? That there is a washing that the Holy Spirit undertakes that brings forth in you a renewal and a regeneration. Now that renewal and a regeneration has a perspective that concerns healing. Right? There are other perspectives that concern growth and transformation and being transfigured. Right? But renewal and regeneration, renewal means the old is being made new. Right? Regeneration means the dead is being made alive. And these processes exist. They are part and parcel of the technology of God. Alive to you by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. And you and I can draw them, energize them, because, right, by the Spirit, in the use of tongues. That's why it says when you speak in a tongue, you enter into the mysteries of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. Right? So you need to understand that this realization of this witness is a mystery that God develops in us. Let's look at chapter 4 of Proverbs. Verse 24 to 23. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Right? Hear the word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And faith results in an understanding. And understanding is the basis in which the tree of life in you will grow. So he says, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ears to my sayings, do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their whole body. So the word of God is crucial to your health and well-being. Now you can understand why God wrote all those laws of what kind of food you can eat and what kind of food you should not eat. Because you will find that they are all based on health. You can't eat fat. Yes, fat represents the anointing in a spiritual sense, but in the natural sense, if you eat fat, it will damage your body. Are you with me? So it says you cannot drink of blood, because blood in the natural carries disease. So that's why the Bible says that. There's no doubt that the blood also represents the blood of Jesus, right? In an ultimate sense. But you know, you can't drink of the blood simply because disease is carried in the blood. Okay? So clean animals and unclean animals. What was the distinction? Because the certain animals carried disease. Right? So they are health laws. Okay? So, it has an implication to how we eat our food, right? And we have to check the way we eat, right? We eat to live, but we don't live to eat. All right? So, these are all part and parcel of God's laws. Obviously, right? You will find that many of us do not have that kind of discipline to eat the right food. So where do you get that kind of discipline? Ask of it, receive it, realize it from Christ Jesus, and ask the Lord to give you the desire to eat right. Because if your body dies, your witness that God is developing inside of you, that is going to be given to the world, will also go with you. There's no doubt it is in your spirit and your soul, but you need a body to live and walk in the earth. That's why the Bible says your body is the temple of God. So yes, we all say we should not smoke and we should not drink, but we also should not overeat. We also should not eat the wrong food. We should also not eat food with the wrong kind of oil. Things like that. All right. But anyway, I'm talking about the witness, and that witness is so important. So it says here, health to your whole body. Verse 23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Right? From it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious lips far from you. Okay? Watch what you say. Because what you say is what pollutes the water. Praise the Lord. So we need to use our mouth. We need to cultivate our witness with our mouth using the Word of God. And you can energize the Word of God through tongues. And God can lay His Word into your spirit and your soul, line upon line, precept upon precept. And this becomes part and parcel of the law of life. It becomes part and parcel of God's workings inside of you. Praise the Lord. So God wants you to be healed. So the life of Jesus can be made manifest to your mortal flesh. All right, let's look at another verse. 1 Corinthians. Or rather, 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4. Verse 11. Okay, let's read this from with context. From verse 6. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. So your heart is meant to realize the Word of God as a morning star. All right? And that reality of the morning star is described here as the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Now that mention of the morning star you find in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. You have the prophetic word made more sure in your heart, right? And it rises in your heart as a morning star. So give heed to that word. But here it says that word is really an expression of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Because He is the bright morning star. He is the Word of God. And everything that is opened in His name is the prophetic word. Right? Because everything that comes out in His spirit and His life has its potential of fulfillment in your life and my life. Which is why we are explaining the Word of God through the witness and testimony of Jesus. So that you can enter and realize this fulfillment potential in your life. Okay? So if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7 now, what does it say? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is this treasure? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus that has been realized in your heart. That is the treasure. That is the wealth of God's heart that He has transmitted into you. That is the result of the implanted word that God has brought alive in you. Right? And He says, and the purpose of this treasure, verse 7, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. And that's very important because this word power is dunamis. It means resurrection power. It is the power that comes to us in a new life. It is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? The power that was manifested in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you understand what the next verses flow out of, okay? We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Christ, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Hmm? always carrying about in the body the dying of Christ. Right? The reality that Jesus died. For whom did he die? He died for us. That's why in baptism we are baptized into Christ and into his death. Romans chapter 6 verse 3. Right? We are baptized into Christ and into his death. Now why are we baptized into his death? Because in his death he released a witness and a testimony that we need in order to live a new life. So the death of Jesus Christ is an expression of his faith and his love for us. It is an expression of his forgiveness. It's an expression of his character and nature expressed for us in his death through a cross. And all that constitutes a new life. All that constitutes a new life. And that's why he says here that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Carrying about in our body the dying of Christ. We must die to self and come alive to God. We come alive to God in the faith and love of Jesus. We come alive to God through the testimony of Jesus. And in that, how do we come alive to God through the testimony? That's what the witness is all about. And in this witness, the life of Jesus is made manifest even into our body. Right? So look at verse 11 now. Verse 11 says, "For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake." Death to ourselves, okay? Death to the things of the world. Death to the passions of our flesh, all right? "That Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh." Now, if you look at the situations and circumstances through which God is molding us, he takes us through persecution, he takes us through, right? Ups and downs, right? He takes us through difficulties. So it says here in verse 8, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing." Right? Right? As God takes us through those dark places or dark facets of life in this world, right? We are being molded in our character and our nature. But we must understand that the molding process is not in a vacuum. It is tied to the release of all that God consecrated for us in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may receive in his faith, his love, a newness of life in the power of his resurrection. So the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus is what we are seeking. Right? It stands as a counterpoint to the desires of our flesh. There's one part of us that wants to desire the things of the flesh. There's another part of us that seeks the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus, the treasure of the Father's heart. And when we make choices, right, we have to die to one part of ourselves. We have to die to our flesh and arise to the life that we have in Jesus Christ. That's what we undertook in our baptism. To understand that this is possible because we can become party to the faith and love of Jesus. We can become party to that tree of life that was released in the witness of the cross in spirit, water, and blood. Can you catch that? Yeah? Praise the Lord. And this is life. So Jesus says, "I am the life. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I am the way." The way is being opened in a witness within you. Truth, it becomes a freedom and liberty. Freedom and liberty from your flesh. Freedom and liberty from sin. Right? Life, you can live it. And when you live it, you are free. Alright? You need to understand this because God is going to take you through these facets of molding, right? Because his plan is to make us sons of God. His plan is to make us priests of the Most High God. His plan is to make us a prophetic people. His plan is to see his word being performed in us and through us. You realize that if God just gives us anointings in our carnal self, we will fall. So this process of growth that will enable us to stand in Christ Jesus is absolutely necessary for each one of us, right? So this is absolutely necessary for all of us. Right? We cannot hold position unless we are healed. We cannot hold position unless we have a new character and a nature in conformance to Christ Jesus. Right? So everything that we are doing right now is in a state of flux. God gives us positions, He gives us anointings, He gives us a calling, and He molds us through those processes. Right? In bringing and unfolding and perfecting those processes inside of us, He works into us a healing process. And that healing process is a process of change. So let's go back to our initial verse on healing. Right? It said in Exodus, let's turn to Exodus chapter 15, I think. Verse 26. And he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God. Now you know that the voice of the Lord your God is a living witness inside of you. And do what is right in his sight. To do what is right in his sight, you have to live through that witness. All right? And give ear to his commandments. You have to listen to what he is saying through that witness. Right? And keep all his statutes. That witness is in conformance with the law and the prophets. Right? It is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Right? It is being manifested inside of you. Right? This is no longer something that is external to you. It is trying to obey the word of God in your own strength. It is not that. It has to be realized in a growing fulfillment. You have to realize it in the character and nature of Jesus, right? In the power of his resurrection. You have to realize it, right? Through his witness and his testimony. Okay? And then the Lord says, and keep all his statutes, right? What does Ezekiel say? Let's keep your finger here. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36 verse 27. He says, I will put my spirit within you. Right? Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 27. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Correct? That's how it's going to be fulfilled. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Now this is part of the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And it comes in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And then he says, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I the Lord am your healer. Right? Yahweh Rophe or Yahweh Rapha, depending on what vowels you put inside there. Can you catch that? So it's all built into your witness. You see, so in Yahweh Rohai, the Lord God who is your shepherd, we see that the Lord God is interested in building in us an intimacy, correct? An intimacy that is defined in the witness. What happens when you have an intimacy defined in the witness? The Lord Jesus Christ becomes your beloved, correct? Right now God says that that is the root in which he's going to bring healing into your life. Right? Because in that root of loving God and loving your neighbor, right, stands the fulfillment of the law. Otherwise, what will happen? We will become a lawless people. Otherwise, we will become a lawless people. So if you turn to Matthew 7, what happens to a lawless people? A lawless people do not know the Lord. Right? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. What was happening here? The anointing was working. Right, what does the Lord say? Verse 23. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Right? What is lawlessness? When the law is not fulfilled in you, it results in lawlessness. Right? So Jesus came to fulfill the law. How is he fulfilling the law? By manifesting the root of David inside of you. Because love is the fulfillment of the law. And love can only come to you as you receive Jesus Christ as your beloved. As you fall in love with him. Can you see that? It's so important, isn't it? It's so important, because if we don't realize this, we will go off track and we will lose out on all the manifest facets of blessings that God has for us. So it's powerful, isn't it, this witness within us. Right? So this witness within us is being developed so that you will become sons of God. Right? So you see, the name of God, the names of God that we are talking about, right? That's what this whole segment is about. Unveiling the name of God. We started out with Yahweh, Elyon, the Most High God. What does it talk about? Position. You are to be tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God. That is an ascent into the Mount of the Lord. That is a Passover to be manifested in your life. Right? What is the next name of God? El Shaddai. Right? The Almighty God. So you are going to be tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God under the shadow of the Almighty. In order to do that, God has to circumcise your heart. Correct? He's got to form covenant inside of your heart. He talks about the two tablets of stone that are going to be manifested in your heart. Two tablets representing the law and the prophets. And then what did the Lord tell us? That in order to do that, He has to manifest each one of us as His place. We have to become tabernacles of the Lord. Correct? That is also tied with El Shaddai. Third thing. The third reality that is tied to El Shaddai is sonship, to become sons of God. In order to achieve that, the next name of God is open to us, Yahweh Yireh, right? So God provides for us in His Son. He doesn't simply provide for us in a vacuum. He provides for us in His Son. So if you want to rise into the Mount of the Lord and receive what is provided in the Mount of the Lord, you have to realize the sacrifice of the Son. And the sacrifice of the Son is to give the Son to you as an inheritance and as a possession. God prophesies and foreshadows that in Ezekiel chapter 44 verse 28, where He says, I am your inheritance and I am your possession. Yahweh Rohai, God says, you have to hear my voice. That hearing of my voice is tied to the knowledge of me. And that hearing of my voice is dependent on the witness of my Son that you have received inside of you, correct? And that witness is in blood, water, and spirit. And that witness is to be developed in an intimacy. Now we have come to Yahweh Rophe. Now in the name Yahweh Rophe, God is declaring that you must come into the healing that comes through this witness. That through this witness, God will manifest inside of you the springs of life. He will heal you. He will bring into you a new nature. He will bring into you the life of Jesus. And the life of Jesus is so powerful that it can be manifested even unto your mortal flesh. And that is the healing process that God wants to do. Right? So next week we will talk about Yahweh Nisi, the Lord God who is the banner over our lives. Okay? And we will move on to that. So let's think very carefully of this, right? The waters of life, it will bring healing, right? It is very important for us to understand that as we grow in this witness, we also have the ability to release these healing waters into the nations. All right, I just want to deal with that too. It is found in Ezekiel chapter 47. See, the last 8 chapters of Ezekiel from 40 to 48 are a messianic vision. Right, I'm going to read for you from verse 1 to round about verse 12. Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house towards the east, for the house faced east, and the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from the south of the altar. Now the house is the house of God. And in that house was an altar. All right? And verse 2, and he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate by way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out towards the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he led me through the water water reaching the ankles. I want you to hear this. The water is flowing from under the altar. Okay? You have an altar in your heart. Out of your belly flows rivers of living water. Okay? And so he says, right, as this water flows, verse 4, and again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the loins. Right? 1,000 represents completion in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is the prophetic expression of the number 1,000, 10 to the power of 3. 10 is the number of completion, 3 is the number that expresses the name of God. All right. So as this ability to walk in the water is being manifested, right? As God completes the church. All right. Now we are talking here about a church. We are talking not about individuals here. We are talking about the body of Christ. Okay. This tabernacle that is being mentioned here is the tabernacle of God. Right. Okay. Verse 5. And again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen, enough water to swim in, a water that could not be forded. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me back to the bank of the river, and when I had returned, behold, on the bank of the river there were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then he said to me, these waters go out towards the eastern region and go down into the Arabah. Then they go towards the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea became fresh, right? They became healed, right? The alternate translation to the word fresh is healed. All right? And it came about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live, and there will be very many fish, for these waters go there and the others become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. And it will come about that fishermen will stand beside it from En-Gedi to En-Gliam. There will be a place for the spreading of nets. Their fish will be according to their kinds, like the fish of the great sea, very many. But its swarms and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. And by the river on its bank, on one side and on the other, will flow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear every month because their food and their leaves for healing. Listening? All right? This is a spiritual picture. All right? We don't fully understand it, but what we can catch from here is the water is for healing. All right? Now let's turn to Revelation 22. Verse 1. And he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. 12 is the number of the church. Okay, so this tree of life is manifested from the church, the body of Christ. Now you will find that there were 12 trees on one side and 12 trees on the other. One represents the Jewish people and the other represents the Gentile church. But all will have the tree of life. And verse 3, and there shall no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his bondservants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. Right? So you realize that, you know, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is manifested in our hearts. Are you listening? Right? We read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, right? Verse 6. Right? And that is the treasure that God gives. Right? And the realization of this treasure is the ability to see the face of God. Blessed are the pure in heart, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, for they shall see God. Okay? All right. So we're talking about a complex picture. We can't explain every detail of it, but we can get the gist of it. Right? We can get the gist of it. And so he says, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Praise the Lord. And his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall no longer be any night, and they shall not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord shall, Lord God shall illumine them, and they shall reign forever and ever. Illumine them how? From inside, guys. Also from outside, but you know. Right? Praise the Lord. And we will be fully healed. Praise the Lord. Right? So shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the tree of life that is being developed in each one of us. The tree of life that grows in us through the seed of Christ. And we thank you that when we were born again, you undertook a great task in each one of us. You undertook to bring forth in us a miracle of awesome proportions, Father. You undertook to unveil, O God, each one of us as morning stars. And in order to manifest us as morning stars, you mean to manifest your word in us, Father. You mean to send forth your word to bring forth healing and deliverance into us. And we understand, Lord, that the word that you bring into us manifests in us in a rhema witness. It forms in us in a logos formation, Father. And by the Spirit, the logos is activated into a rhema. And we can move by the Spirit in the realities of the word defined in our hearts. And Lord, we are being fashioned to become creatures of an awesome potential, Father. So we want to thank you and we want to bless you for what you have released to us today from your word, Lord. And we pray that we will understand, and we, in this understanding, we will see the development of the witness of that is to be peculiarly developed within us. The witness that is going to unveil us in the secret place of the Most High God under the shadow of the Almighty. The witness that is peculiar to each and every one of us. A unique witness of the testimony of Jesus that is developed in us according to the situations and circumstances of our life that you have taken us through. So each one of us will receive and realize the testimony of Jesus in a peculiar way, Lord. And in this fashion and form, Lord, you bring into us, O God, a newness that is peculiar to each one of us. And so we all realize some facet of the wonder of you. And when we put it all together, Father, there is an awesome wonder, O God, of your light manifested through the body of Christ. And indeed the heavens will be enlightened with the light of your glory manifested in each one of us, Lord Jesus. And we want to thank you that you have chosen to manifest your glory within us. So we thank you for choosing to give us that glory, so that that glory could be developed in our being, so that we can live in the glory of who you are and all that you are. We bless you and thank you, Father, for the beloved alive in us, because he is the healing that we need. We want to thank you and we want to bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to, I left out something that was there in my witness and I lost it somewhere along the line. But this is what God wants me to tell you. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It relates to the root of David. And you need to understand that this root of David coming to love Jesus is so, so very important. Right? I just want to leave you with two verses that are very, very crucial to your understanding. Right? Verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Let's read from verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. It's very important for you to understand that this root of David has to be manifested in your witness, right? You have to love him. It's crucial because you cannot grow in revelation knowledge if you don't love him. Okay? Let me show you what loving Jesus means. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Right? Verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Right? So love is not an emotion. It is tied to the fulfillment of the law. And when Jesus says keep the commandments, he's not telling you to observe the law. He's telling you to realize the law in fulfilled terms, in the reality of what he is going to do for you. All right? So the New Testament law is called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that sets you free from the law of sin and death. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. It is called the law of life. So it is only by the Spirit in Christ Jesus that you can realize the fulfillment of the law through the nature and character of Jesus. All right? But Jesus is telling us, if you don't have a desire to observe my commandments, you don't love me. It's very crucial to understand that. Praise the Lord. So we need to love him. Right? Okay. So you remember Matthew chapter 7, right? Those guys who practiced lawlessness, right? They used the anointing, but they did not want the law of God to be realized in their lives. They were not interested in doing things God's way. So he said, I know you not. I have no intimacy with you. Go away from me, you who practice lawlessness. Right? Praise the Lord. Okay.